All right, recording started. Let's go. This is technically episode two, but really episode one of the DWC podcast. We're talking about week one. The episode that dropped yesterday, last night, was about the predictions that we have. So please check that out, like, subscribe. We're just starting the YouTube channel, so we're super excited about that. We're in season three. We're also out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. For the audio listeners out there, so we're not leaving y'all hanging. This will be posted today after we finish recording, and we're just going to give y'all that extra day to listen so you're not scrambling to listen before the Thursday game. But we're super excited. We got Thursday game, Friday game, Sunday games, and a Monday game for this week. We're going to go ahead and get into the week one headlines. And Ja'Marr Chase is still not practicing, not in uniform, still not practicing, waiting on his deal. Is this one of the few ones on the rookie contract, 2 years left, that is not participating?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much the only one. Honestly, I think he's done enough to deserve a contract, and Joe Burrow obviously wants him around.
Maybe
they're just waiting. I mean, it's he seems pretty set on getting it this year, but most people wait until that fifth year option, right? Like they don't want to do the fifth year option, just extend them. If you know, you know, you know what I mean? Like Justin Jefferson got his contract before his fourth year was over, you know what I mean? So I feel like, come on, Bengals, like what are we doing? What are we actually doing? If I was a fan of the Bengals right now, I'd be so angry that the owner will not pay my best offensive weapon.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? You have a generational QB, and you don't want to pay for the weapons. T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are not paid right now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Shout out our homie Don. Someone tweeted about the Bengals tweeted about something. He commented. He was like, yo, don't say nothing until Ja'Marr signed. And I mean, obviously this works out for us, you know. No practice. He's gonna be rusty.
Yeah.
I mean, if he sits, bro, hey. But obviously he's not gonna sit, but like it's just different in like what do we have to do like moving forward? Obviously, in the future, there's gonna be better and better prospects. So like, are they gonna have to like raise the rookie contracts? Like the numbers, or so they can stop doing this, because it's been proven that, you know, time and nowadays, it's been proven that, like, yo, if I keep doing this, they're going to sign me. If I keep bitching, if I don't, especially if they start losing, they're going to sign me.
Well, you got to know, like, to me, like, the NFL really can't do anything about it, to be honest. To me, it's like, you either know or you don't as an NFL team. And if you're not decisive in your decision-making, then it can hurt you in the long run. Like, whether money's an issue or not, get a GM where money's not an issue anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just need to make a fucking decision. And you need to make a decision before the market rises, which is not what the Bengals have done.
Yeah.
The market is what it is now, and now they're stuck. And Jefferson got a huge contract, reset the market. Not saying Ja'Marr is going to get that money, but obviously he's looking at it like, oh, I'm better than Justin Jefferson. I should get more than him. I should reset the market. That's how it always is. That's how it always will be.
Yeah.
The Bengals just aren't ahead of it. They aren't ahead of the curve, and they need to figure it out. Like, they're not proactive like the Eagles front office, like the Browns front office. They just aren't. And they need to get with the times if they're going to pay their players and compete every single year, year in and year out. So
yeah, I thought that it'd be like my team was gonna be like that, but once we got Omar, he gave Alex Highsmith the extension before any like additional years was up, because he was like, "Oh, it's gonna get we already given TJ a lot of money, and the fact that we're able to have two elite edge rushers, we gotta sign this dude immediately before the market resets again. It's gonna reset every year."
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? I mean, Alex Highsmith is one of the best opposite edge rushers in the league. Like, he could be a number one on any other team, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't, your GM got the job and looked at the talent on his roster and was like, secure that man right now. Like, that is exactly what you need to do. And would you rather pay this much now or pay $40 million more in 3 years when his contract is up? Like, I just don't get it. Like, I really don't get it.
It's different if you have, like, a say, like, Ja'Marr Chase was, like, on the same skill level as, like, no disrespect, but on the same skill level as, like, a Tony Pollard. We're like, we don't know, you know. He had a full workload. He was elite as an RB2, but as an RB1, what would he do? We don't know, so we're going to sit on it. Ja'Marr Chase is, you know, top five, top six in some people's – and this is in the whole league.
Yeah.
Like, this is like – and when they were like, no, we're not signing T, T's going to walk. You, me, we are all like, oh, it's because they're signing Ja'Marr. They're going to sign Ja'Marr. Mm-hmm. I thought Ja'Marr would have gotten signed way before, like, the CD, Brandon Ayuk, way before that. Because if you're not signing T, then obviously you're going to sign Ja'Marr. And now, waiting is not going to work.
No, now we've gone three big-name receivers have been signed now since Ja'Marr asked for an extension, and we're still not anywhere, apparently. I mean, obviously, we're not in the building, so they could be really close, and we just don't know. But him not practicing with 2 days to go into the season is not a good sign. And when he does come back, it's going to take him three games probably to get back into football shape and get used to the contact and stuff. So, I don't know. Just not a good look. Bengals have been doing this for a long time. What can I say? I don't know what else to say on this subject. Yeah. Like, whether Bengals fans like to hear it or not, they have been a cheap organization when it comes to paying players. So, and I did see they rostered about 12 to 13 rookies this year. That is not necessarily how you win consistently in this league. Like, you rookies, if hitting on rookies is great, of course, but like, we're talking 2 to 3 rookies that you need to hit on every year when you're a good team. You're not trying to hit a bulk of rookies. Like, like, I just don't know.
Vets are what wins you Super Bowls.
You need
consistency. You have that one or two good, you know, rookies that are mature, but like, yeah, the established vets are, because once it hits playoff time, you're going to need those vets with that game experience in the playoffs over like a rookie that might get shined by the, you know, the lights are too bright.
Yeah. I mean, you can't rely on a 23-year-old, 22-year-old, whatever age they are coming out of college.
Yeah.
When it matters the most, like, you need to have consistency of positions, and switching those for rookies every year, getting them used to the NFL, is not the best way of doing it. So they need to sign Ja'Marr. I mean, number one thing you need to do right now is sign Ja'Marr Chase. I'm sure Burrow's not happy about it. No. Like, it's his number one target.
So, I mean, he's already losing his second best target. You can't even sign his best target.
Yeah, I'm not.
But we're all not, you know, we're not, even Patrick Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Like, the QB doesn't always make the wide receivers. The QBs also need weapons and wide receivers, especially now that you got a whole new revamped run game that we don't know that is going to work. So he's going to need the security blanket in Ja'Marr Chase, who's 9 times out of 10 always open.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. At least they get the break and they play the Patriots. You don't necessarily really need Ja'Marr to beat the Patriots. You know, going forward, and especially now he's going to, like you said, he's going to need more practice. He's going to be rusty the first couple of games. But, you know, he's a top five, top six talent. So, obviously, it's going to take him a lot less time to get, like, fully ready. But still, you need that time. And, you know, your body's not ready. It could lead to injuries because you're not used to the contact because you haven't been fucking practicing. So, hey, if they want to ruin their shit, go ahead, bro. It's better for our teams.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone outside of Bengals fans was surprised that they're not signing T. Higgins to an extension. Like, to me, that wasn't a shock at all. Like, you're not keeping both of those weapons and keeping majority of your vets and solid role players on the team connected. It's not happening, especially with the track record of your owner. Like, it just wasn't happening. So, but with that being said, I also expected, like you said, that if they don't sign T, that they're going to extend Ja'Marr as soon as possible. Because why would you let that talent walk?
Yeah.
You just cannot let that walk.
What are we waiting on?
I don't know. Maybe after this year, because this is the last year they have T and that offense fully together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know much about the cap situation or how the GM works for the Bengals, so I'm not going to even try to understand what's happening.
Both seem very poor, but it is what it is. And we're going to go get into the next one. Thank God he's good, but Ricky Pearsall got shot. In an attempted robbery for his Rolex. This hits close to home for my boy. He's a Florida fan, as you can see in the background. How was it when you got the news?
Well, it was just a pile of shit added on to more shit because I was at the Florida game this weekend when we got beat by 30. Yeah. So about 2 hours after that, I got the update that he had been shot, and no one really knew what happened, but it looked pretty bad, like the video of it.
Yeah.
You could see on his right shoulder that it just went right. It was right about here, I would say.
Yeah.
It was bleeding right through. But the bullet passed through, luckily, and didn't hit any organs. So I've heard he was released from the hospital today or yesterday, and he's in stable condition now. But, like, holy fuck. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's crazy. These players are a lot less paranoid than me. If I'm going anywhere, bro, I got boys with me. I got some kind of security with me, because anything can happen.
Yeah, no doubt. It's unbelievable. And it's just like, who got robbed last year? I swear someone got robbed last year as well.
Brian Robinson.
Yeah, he got shot in the leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going on?
But thankfully he's okay. And the dude who shot him was okay, because Ricky got the gun, I guess, and shot him. So I don't know what the fuck happened in that scuffle. He'll probably talk about it in a press, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe because there's got to be an ongoing case about it. So, thankfully Ricky's good. Thank God it was only his right side. And that nothing vital got hit. You think he's going to be good for week one? He's not going to get that much. Oh, he's not?
He got put on the PUP list, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So he'll be out for four games.
Minimum. Okay. That's crazy.
I mean, being a receiver, getting shot in the upper chest like that, I feel like it's going to take some time to figure that out. You are buffering like a motherfucker right now.
I thought I looked clean on my shit.
Hold on. Hopefully for the recording it works.
I think on mine, at least on my end.
You sound a little choppy too. So.
Oh, I do. Oh.
I mean, we can just play it out. Like, I can still understand you, so it might just be a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll fix itself.
You just look like a blur on the screen.
Oh, if I look like a Blair, I'm going to, once I drop it and I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to immediately buy a new router.
No, you're getting better. Okay, let's move on to the next headline. We got Trent Williams, I think literally like an hour ago from doing this. It's Tuesday. We got the news that he finally signed an extension. We don't have any of the details yet. There you go. You look better. We don't have any of the money details yet, but that's huge news for the 49ers. They finally got Ayuk and Trent Williams signed before the season starts, and now all the concerns seem to be going out the window for them. So I think that was big for them. We saw the stats when Trent Williams was not playing, and the production was way worse. I think the pass protection dropped from like top five to worst in the league at pass rush percentage when he wasn't playing. So that was even bigger news than the Ayuk news, in my opinion. I think they needed him more than Ayuk.
Yeah, 100%. And that's not anything to say against Ayuk. Ayuk is top 10, top 12 receiver. But Trent Williams is the best left tackle still. Thankfully, he got his shit done, because I thought if anybody wasn't going to play, it was going to be him. And this is exactly what you need for still a young and growing quarterback. You need to make sure that they have that blanket, especially at the left tackle spot. And they got the best one, so thank God. They probably just gave him like a lot more. They probably just like gave him a lot more guaranteed, because that's all he wanted was a guaranteed. He didn't really, the years were the years, but he just didn't want to get shafted on the back end if he got injured or something. But 49ers are still the 49ers. I mean, they have we'll have to see if they can do something with this. I mean, they signed everybody to big contracts, and it's all got to pay off. I hope, but for their sake.
Like I said, a lot of the concern going into the season for them was keeping the big name players on their team. They kind of went through it with Nick Bosa last year. Was it last year he asked for an extension? And he sat out a few games, so I wouldn't be shocked, or I wasn't going to be shocked, if Trent or Ayuk sat out a few games to start the year, but they ended up getting it done, so good for them. Still the favorites in the NFC. Yeah, Bengals, pay your fucking players. I don't know what else to say. Yeah, those were the three main headlines we had going into the season. Not many other headlines. The Ayuk saga ended. There's just little stuff, like Tyreek said Waddle, he wants Waddle to be the number one receiver this year. I thought that was interesting, but that's not really a headline. Just weird shit going on. Obviously, player injuries and stuff to note, but we're going to jump into a few questions to start the year. So the first question we had was about QB health and can players stay healthy this year? Some of the notable names from last year, we were coming off a lot of season-ending injuries last year at the QB position. And it kind of made, I don't know if it was a mix of defenses being better last year or just offenses being bad, but I'm sure the QB health situation did not help in that situation. So we're going to talk about like Rodgers, Burrow, Watson, Cousins, Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, those types of things. Like, do you think a lot of QBs are going to get hurt again this year? Or like, do you think Rodgers can stay healthy? Watson can stay healthy? Is it because like Watson and Rodgers don't really have consistent injury health, like problems. Like Rodgers has stayed relatively healthy. At older he's gotten, he's had little minor stuff. Watson got hurt his rookie year and then got hurt last year, but nothing in between there. Cousins, fairly healthy his whole career. Richardson's kind of had a health problem at Florida. Obviously got hurt the second game of the year. Lawrence, nagging injuries, but nothing like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then there's Burrow, biggest question mark in my opinion. Can he play a full year? I think he's only played one full year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think these QBs can stay healthy? Because that, I feel like with those teams in particular, there's a lot of questions about them more than the actual team. I think most of the teams they're on are good, but can they play the full year?
I'm also going to add in Kyler Murray to that list. Obviously, when you talk about QBs that run, it's a higher chance of injury.
Maybe even Lamar.
I mean, like I told you the other day, Lamar and Burrow have never played a full healthy season together in the same year. One's always been hurt.
That's insane.
But like with the Watson thing, I think it's because like he hadn't played in so long. I know usually like when we talk about like, oh, if you play so much, like an example, like the Derrick Henry, you play so much, you're going to have wear and tear on your body. But it also really helps you if you're consistently in football shape. And in football shape, we don't just mean, you know, your speed, you know, you make sure you're at the right weight and whatnot. Meaning is like, is your body ready to take hits? Because over time, you know, if you keep getting hit, and even like the little, like the normal tackles can just add additional wear and tear on your body. And you got to be ready. You got to have your body ready for that. And nothing is ever going to ready your body more than playing in the actual NFL games. Yeah. So with that, I mean, you get, especially now with like I mean, it's always happened, but like they try to stop it as much as they can. But remember back in the day when, like, if you got sacked, the edge rusher or the defensive tackle, linebacker, whatever, might land on your side, which means your shoulders are getting crunched together. That can affect you. You get hit, you know, you're throwing the ball, you get hit in that shoulder, that can smoke you. So there's a lot more chances of injuries than people would think for quarterbacks, because usually if you think quarterbacks, especially the blockbusters, they're just statues back there.
Well, that's the craziest part about Lamar. He's never been hurt running the ball. It's always when he's in the pocket throwing it, which is insane to even think about.
Yeah, Lamar's really good at bracing himself on the run.
I've never seen him get hit like hard ever. Yeah.
Who's also really good at that is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's really good at not taking a full blunt of a tackle. But, I don't know. It was crazy that, like, I mean, I know we talk about it in a meme, but it is, like, a serious situation, even though I'm going to laugh about it when I talk about it. just, like, the Rodgers shit, like, him walking out there carrying the flag for the Memorial Day of 9/11 and then just gets absolutely smoked on the ground. And was done.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is Leonard, I think it was Leonard, right? Leonard Taylor that tackled him. And he's on the 40. Whoever tackled him, I thought it was Leonard something. He's on the 49ers. So the dude that tackled him when he tore his shit is also on the team this year that he plays for the first game.
Right.
So that's – and he was like, yeah, I'm going to sack him again. I was like, bruh, if that happens again, that's fucking crazy.
I just thought it was interesting. Last year, I felt like there was a significant amount of injuries at the QB position. It wasn't just like normal. Like, everyone gets hurt in the NFL. I understand that. Injuries are usually pretty high. But the QB position took like – it was like 30% of NFL teams lost their QB in some sort of fashion last year. I don't know what it was last year. Hopefully it's not like that this year, because obviously we love offense. We love points. We love QBs that respect coin here. But the fucking, like, I don't know. You can never predict health. But there are signs for some people that they just never will be able to finish the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think Burrow's the standout here when it comes to, can he finish a season? Can he play all the way through? Can he make it? Because one more injury for him, and I don't know where we go from here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's getting borderline Sam Bradford-level injuries. I'm not saying they play alike. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Burrow's way better than Bradford ever was.
Yeah.
But, like, Bradford never really had a chance because he got hurt every single year and never finished the season. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you do? Like, and a lot of these teams are dependent on these guys to stay healthy. The Jets. Yeah. They lose Rodgers. They wasted $80 million in 2 years on just Rodgers. And then Burrow, he goes out again. They showed they were functional last year, but they're not winning the Super Bowl without Burrow.
No.
Watson, the whole season relies on Watson's health and him actually playing games. Falcons will be right back at square one if Cousins gets hurt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just insane to think about all the injuries last year, and makes me really scared to predict anything for this year, because it's so insane how many got hurt last year.
Yeah, it's going to be, like you said, it was a crazy ass year with injuries and whatnot. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the same thing with you on Burrow. If he's healthy, they made it to, so
you're a robot right now. You might just want to put your camera away and see if your voice sounds better without the camera streaming right now.
Okay.
Because if I'm just on here, it is what it is. But like, as long as your voice is getting captured well,
let's see if I can.
If you can do audio only, so it's not taking up so much bandwidth.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's better than what you were.
We are testing. We're better.
I still sound like a robot a little bit.
We're burning this fuck over here. I thought I fixed it, and then I guess not.
Now you sound good. Now you sound good. I think you should just stay like this for a while.
we're gonna get some new shit. We're gonna get some new shit today. Next week's episode, you'll see my face. We're gonna get some better shit.
Just put a picture up of yourself.
Just me with the peace sign. Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and speaking of pressure on teams, we're gonna go ahead and get into most pressured teams that we think coming into the 2024 season. We got the Browns, the Cowboys, the Jets, the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins. I think it's clear that the out of those, the most, I think, are the first three that I named, the Browns, the Cowboys, and the Jets. Not in that order, just I think those three are the most. With the Browns, everything relies on Watson. It's been clear cut that the defense was the reason that you guys made it this far
into
and going into the playoffs. So we're not, at least you guys aren't asking Watson to be the Texans Watson. You just need 70% of that, and I think you guys will be fine with your defense. It's just, are you going to be able to have him last that long to get 70%?
Yeah. I would say the teams to me with the most pressure are definitely the Jets and the Browns, because both took a big swing on QB contract.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly Deshaun's contract is under a lot of scrutiny. Completely understand he's only played 13 games for the Browns in 3 years or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then the Jets paid Aaron Rodgers a shitload to come over there, has not played a game. So I think those two teams, contract-wise, I think Stefanski and Barry are safe no matter what happens with Deshaun. It will look like a really bad move by Barry if Deshaun can't play this year or he has a really bad year. So I think that in and of itself is going to be a shadow over him the rest of his career if it doesn't work out. But I do think their jobs are secure, because I think Haslam likes Barry Stefanski. He just signed both of them to a new extension. If anyone's gone next year, it's Deshaun. So not necessarily the Browns team having the most pressure. I think Deshaun has a lot of pressure this year coming into the season to make it work. But the Jets, now, if Rodgers doesn't work out at the Jets, I think I have them edged a little more than the Browns, because I really do think if they don't go to the playoffs, make some noise in the playoffs, I think that GM's gone, I think Saleh's gone, and I think Rodgers is gone, and I think it's a full rebuild once again for the Jets.
Oh, my God. A full rebuild?
I think it is. What do you do at that point? Because you've had Rodgers for 2 years. Say they don't make the playoffs. Worst case scenario for both teams, actually. Don't make the playoffs. What does that tell you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is the best defense. You could say the Jets have the best defense in the NFL. And now you have Rodgers, who's a Hall of Fame QB. You have weapons on the outside. It's coaching at that point, right? Or it's mm-hmm. Rodgers just not being worth that $40 million contract. So that's still on the GM, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely is the Jets and the Browns. If they're, even if, say, Rodgers is fine, right, he's healthy, he could still just be ass. I mean, he was not that good at the Packers the last time he was, fully playing. Definitely wasn't up to Rodgers' standard. So if he's just mid in that division that they're in, same thing with the Deshaun. If he's mid as well, with the divisions that they're both in, it could be terrible. And both of their, not only is it pressure with the coaches, the players, the fans, the Browns fans and the Jets, just New York in general, have some of the worst fans.
Getting restless.
In terms of those fans, I think would cause physical harm to the Browns and the Jets organization if they could. So
yeah,
And
no doubt.
And just the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys is just like, if they don't, like, how many times are we going to have the Cowboys fans? This is our year. This is our year. And then if they don't, if they get bounced out again, you might have to, this is another where you might have to look at the quarterback. You might need to get a new quarterback.
Yeah. And I think this is a big season for them too, because like you said, if Dak doesn't perform, like say Dak does the same thing he does every year, they win 11, 12 games, but then they lose in the first round of the playoffs. Like people will be mad. And this is just like how the Browns made a move. They didn't make a lateral move. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you have to just let it go. Like, do you want to win and league average, be good every year, but not win in the playoffs? Or do you want to go for the Super Bowl and maybe have some bad years in between? Right. Same thing the Rams did. Should they have traded Jared Goff? I don't know. They went to the Super Bowl with him, right? Everyone was like, whoa, they traded him. They just got to the Super Bowl with him. But then they went out and got Matthew Stafford, won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, as fans, we're impatient, right? So we don't want any bad years. But realistically, if a guy can't get it done at the QB position and you think he can't do it, you have to move on.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to have some down years or not, like, you have to make that decision as an owner, as a GM, as a coach. And that's why I will sit here and never tell you that the Deshaun trade is bad from the standpoint of moving off Baker. Whether his gameplay or not is bad, that's a whole different thing. But moving off Baker was the right choice because he is an average QB, average to good, that will get you to the playoffs, but he will never see a Super Bowl in his life, right?
I like you throwing in the good.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good year last year, I can't deny. And I've said good things about Baker. What do you want from me? Like, I always have. Even the year he went to the Panthers, I said they were going to be better than what people think because Baker's on the team. Did I not?
Yeah.
I did say that. He is a starting QB in this league, but he is not a Super Bowl winning team or QB in this league. You have to take risks in the NFL to be any type of decent in the playoffs. You have to. And that's the thing. Like, the Cowboys are in that situation. Do you move off Dak, who's going to win you 10 to 12 games a year, but probably not going to win you a Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't sit here in purgatory 5 years in a row, which is what they've been in. They've been good for 5 straight years with Dak. Every year they've been good. But why have they never moved past the first or second round, really? You know what I mean? You have to make that decision. And it's not going to be an easy one because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, I don't want to go 4-13. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of pressure on that decision, and this is the year that they're going to have to make it because his contract is up.
Yeah. I mean, for those people that are like that, what I – say every time, and I mean, even I'm like that, like, bro, I was thankful enough to see a Super Bowl in my lifetime, but I didn't have the full, like, cognitive in my brain, like, I was just a kid. But even then, like, what I tell people is, like, bro, like, these teams, barring us getting exploded from this earth, these teams will be here when we die, when our kids die, and when our kids' kids die. These teams will always be here. So in the long run, if they're going to make this, they're thinking about the future. And with the Texans and the Jaguars and Dolphins, for the Jaguars and Dolphins, I think we're both on the same page of it is QB dependent. They just gave these QBs a lot of money, and we have to see. There's already skepticism on Trevor Lawrence. We thought he would take this lead by storm. I mean, he was arguably the best prospect since Andrew Luck. And then with the Dolphins, with Tua, there's already concerns. And it's been – and I'm a Tua fan, but, you know, I can't shy away from the numbers in the cold seasons. When the numbers are in the cold seasons, he's not that good. And then the Texans, it's just like they have – they just got Stephon. They came back from a crazy year. Sort of like the Lions in the same situation of is it's going to be a lot harder to continue to go up when the bar is already set so high. Both won their first playoff games. And I don't know how long, especially for the Lions. And it's going to be interesting to see. But definitely the Browns and the Jets have some of the most pressure for the season.
Yeah, the Jaguars, I think there's unnecessary. Like, this is one of those teams that I think there's really, like, unnecessary pressure because people are putting a lot of, like, weight on Trevor Lawrence's shoulders. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been exactly what people think he was supposed to be entering the league. And I think it's kind of unfair considering the team he went to the very first year. Urban Meyer was his coach. Was Urban his coach in the second year or the first? It was his first, yes. Right?
Is his second year.
Okay, so first year, bad team. Clearly the number one pick overall. Second year, somehow they got worse. Urban should never have been there. That stunted his growth. And then I think they got Doug Peterson, got a little bit better. But at the same time, like, Trevor Lawrence is just like Josh Allen to me in terms of, like, he's going to try to make the biggest play possible whenever mm-hmm. he sees the opportunity. So with that being said, I think he does have more, like, incompletions or interceptions than people would like because he does try to fit it in windows where he probably shouldn't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But how can you fault a guy for that when they have all the talent in the world to get that ball there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when Josh Allen was turning the ball over, he was throwing his turnovers were like punts, basically. You know what I mean? Big-time mm-hmm. throws. And Trevor Lawrence is one of the best in the league at big-time throw percentage and completing those throws because he trusts his arm and he trusts his players to make the play. So that is a QB I can get behind, even with his stats not looking as great as people would want him to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Daniel Jones has similar stats to him through the years they've played. But Daniel Jones isn't pushing the pace up the field. He's not scaring defenses. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence just needs – like, he will be a starter in this league for a long time. And I think the Jaguars didn't help him at all until Doug Peterson got there. And I think this year they're going to be a lot better than what people think. So – like I said, I think the pressure there is a little bit misdirected. I think the pressure is more on Peterson because his coaching hasn't been great, in my opinion, in certain game situations. And I think the GM has also not been very great for them. So I don't think it's really on Lawrence. I think it's more on the GM and the coach for that team.
Yeah, I misspoke. It was his rookie year. So, yeah, your rookie year,
okay,
you're with Urban Meyer and – That was a shit show, so I already cut you some slack and then having to learn a whole new system under Doug Peterson. We're both big Trevor Lawrence fans. We saw him in college. I mean, he smoked my team in college, so I saw the attributes and everything there. I think he'll be a great quarterback. I think we're getting hella blessed with all these quarterbacks. That's usually not how that shit happens. So obviously there's going to be still some issues outside of the quarterback that can hamper the quarterback's development. But I think Trevor Lawrence will be fine. Same thing with I think Tua will be fine. It's just I think his are a lot more concerning than Trevor Lawrence. I know they fucking folded that Chargers game in the playoffs, but I think what's going on with Tua in the cold weather allegations are a lot more concerning with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get into the bets. The bets, week one bets.
We are going to, as we get more used to this actual streaming, we are going to have slides for each thing. Mm-hmm. Graphics for each thing. So just bear with us on week one. We're going to get that ready for week two. But we're going to do our NFL best bets. And this is where Bo and I are going to give you our pretty much lock of the week, whatever you want to call it. Something you should lay some chalk on because this is definitely hitting type of stuff. We are going to stick. We're not doing for our best bets. We're going to stay away from. Actually, we'll actually do some player props maybe eventually, but we're not going to parlay anything. for right now, we're just sticking with the actual like spreads, over-unders, and money lines on teams. So we're going to make it more about the actual team than the players for the best bet. So what are you thinking for your best bet for this week?
For my best bet, I was going back and forth. I was like, yo, could the Steelers win? but since we're technically underdogs, I wasn't going to go with that. I think it's just like the first week is so hard because, like, can you even bet spreads because the spreads are so close to each other?
Yeah.
But my best bet is Sunday night, I think. I believe. Not I think. This is my best bet here. I believe. I will be betting -3.5 on the Lions.
-3.5 on the Lions. So you
Sunday night.
Okay. So yeah, you think they are going to win fairly easily in this game.
I think they'll win by a touchdown or more.
Honestly, I don't hate, like, when you see a 3.5 like that, I don't hate to go the opposite way because I do think the Lions win. Yeah, I don't hate it. I do think the Lions probably win. There's too many question marks with the Rams defense. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. And this line is giving me vibes that people are starting to swing more towards the Lions anyway. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hate it. Anything else to add on that? What's giving you so much confidence in the Lions right now?
Same thing with you. I just don't know about the defense and the Lions lost Raheem Morris, so I don't know how they're going to be, you know, how they're going to be without him. He seemed like a superb defensive mind. They did lose Aaron Donald, arguably one of the greatest defensive players ever. I mean, when you're up there in comparisons with LT, Lawrence Taylor, then, you know, it says something about you. I think the Rams offense will be all right. I have faith in Kyron Williams. It's going to be interesting to see, like, a fully, like, they had camp and everything, Cooper Kupp and Puka, how Matt Stafford decides to divide that up. But I think the Lions that had a really good offseason kept everybody. Keeping Ben Johnson was fucking clutch for them. And yeah, they're at home. So I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I really think the consistency of the Lions bringing everyone back. They did well in the draft. Same players, same positions, same coaching staff. Just that consistency overall is just a lot better than the Rams going into this game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, McVay and Stafford, great pairing. I just don't think they have enough firepower or the defense to compete with the Lions here. So, yeah, I agree. That's a good one right there. For my best bet, I am actually going with the Cardinals +6 on the road with the Bills.
This is our best bets here, right? It's going to absolutely hit, right?
Yes, I'm going +6. It's on DraftKings. It's -108 right now. I'm going to probably lay a decent amount on this, to be honest with you. A lot of things are pointing in the direction – I have the Bills winning. Don't worry. Like, I think the Bills win this game. The thing about the Cardinals last year that really impressed me was how hard they played. No matter who they were playing, they never quit on the game. And the difference is they have Kyler Murray to start the year, and he had a full preseason to go with the team. They added Marvin Harrison. Obviously, we'll wait and see what he looks like. But I think a full year turnaround. They had a bunch of draft picks. They're going to tighten up the defense a little bit. I do think it's still going to be a rough defense. I was actually thinking the over on this game, possibly. But there are a lot of question marks with the Bills offense. As of right now, who are going to be the pass catchers? Is Josh Allen going to be like he was at the start of last year? Or is he going to be more like I was at the end of the year, where he wasn't really putting up the crazy numbers that we are used to seeing with him? So I think the Cardinals can keep it close here. Both defenses, I don't have a lot of faith in, to be honest with you. The Bills defense is aging. They lost Von Miller's coming off an ACL. They lost their best linebacker again, right? What's his name? out for the year. Was Matt it a torn Milano. Pec? Yeah, Matt Milano. Secondary is kind of weak. It's weakened. Cardinals defense, like I said, they've added depth, but it's rookie depth and not a lot you can really do there. I think both QBs are going to play well. I do think both QBs play well. I think this will be a fast-paced game. I think it's actually one of the most underrated games on the week. And I think the Cardinals probably lose by a field goal here. I think it's going to be really close. You don't think so?
I just think that they lose by a touchdown. I think you're close, but I think
it is
touchdown. Is
if you don't like, I will say, if you don't necessarily like the six, which I get it, the even safer bet is if you want to do 7.5, and it only moves the line by 40. It's minus 147. If you want to do 7.5 to secure, they only lose by a touchdown, and you still win, I would definitely like that's still a great pick right there, minus 147. I guess splitting hairs there by 40. Go for the alt line at minus or plus 7.5 and lay a few units on that motherfucker, because I think they're going to keep it close the entire game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game, like you said. I also wouldn't mind betting on that over. We could see some fireworks with just the question marks on defense, especially on the Bills' back end. I think we both believe in Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is still easily a top 15 quarterback. And if he's able to – if Marvin Harrison is able to live up to the hype and he can air it out, I mean, they still got Trey McBride.
Yep.
With Matt Milano missing, and then both of their safeties are gone, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. It's going to – and Tre'Davious White. It's going to be
– Yep. Interesting. A lot of question marks back there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a high-flying game. I honestly might put the over on Allen and Murray's rushing and passing total yards. Mm-hmm. Like, I might do a parlay just with those two, because I think this is really a – there's question marks at talent around both QBs, but I think weak defenses, they're both going to have to play their ass off to win this game. I think both QBs have a really good week one. Fantasy, if you have these two QBs, I think either one is a good play for week one.
They will go into our underdog.
Dog of the week.
Dog of the week. And you can go ahead and reveal that. We had a little conversation off recording about that. And go ahead and reveal that for us.
Yeah, so our dog of the week is going to be a a group pick from me and Bo. We're not going to pick opposite. We're going to come together. We're going to agree on someone that I think has a legitimate chance to spoil someone's week. And our dog of the week this in week one is the Titans at plus 170. We had a discussion about a few other teams, but I think this one really is honestly the line is kind of confusing to me. The Titans being that big of a dog week one against an unproven rookie. I know it's on the road, but like we have a lot of constants for the Titans that are things we can't not look at when looking at these two teams playing each other. The Titans have a returning QB. Like they got Calvin Ridley. They helped get their line together. The spread is. Yeah. I just think I'm not on the Bears hype train yet. Mm-hmm. I need them to prove it to me. And I think this line is just too good to play in week one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to be – I mean, with all the hype, I mean, it's going to be probably packed over there. I will be over in Chicago this weekend, not going to the game, but it's definitely going to be crazy over there. It's going to be packed. This is the time that people are expecting. I mean, half of these Bear fans probably think they're going to go in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see week one. I think the Titans we're not saying the Titans are an elite program, but like the – welcome to the NFL moment, I think, will happen with the Tennessee Titans. I think that they're They're, you know, mature, they're grown up, and I think that they're, I'm not saying it's going to be blowout or any kind of, what is that called? Any kind of shootout. I think it's going to be an ugly-ass game. We're going to see Caleb Williams in his first NFL game against NFL talent and NFL coaches. We already, since he's such a huge prospect and huge talent, we already have, or the, you know, the defensive assistants, defensive coordinators, and coaches already have a lot of film on him, and they're going to be able to see what packages they can run against him. I think it's going to be pretty effective for week one, and just like just knocking off some of the rust for some players. I'm not really sold on the whole DeAndre Swift in the background yet, and the backfield yet. And the Bears did keep a lot of players. They did give out some contracts. I thought Jalen Johnson was going to bounce, and they gave him contract. They gave Montez Sweat a contract. And ultimately, I just hate Matt Eberflus, man. I think he's a bum. Fade. I think he's a bum.
Yeah. The only thing that really worries me about the game itself is the Bears' defense is solid. They showed it last year. New offense for Will Levis, but he is still the QB. We'll see if Callahan. Now, the positive is they brought in Callahan's dad, and that's a huge upgrade for any offensive line in the whole NFL. So if they can get better protection for Levis, they also drafted Latham, right?
Yep, J.C. Latham.
So if they can get better protection for Levis, I think they're going to not breeze through this game, because I think Caleb's going to be pretty solid in his debut, but I do think he's going to have some growing pains, maybe a few mistakes, and the Titans get it done on the road in week one. And then people are going to be hyped about Callahan as the new coach. And, but to me, it's like I don't see the Titans. Oh, it looks like the line is dropping as I'm looking at it. So the line started at 4.5, and now it's already dropped to 3.5. So people are laying some chalk on the Titans right now. Get your bet in while you can.
Our FBI agents are hooping, bro.
Yeah, it's plus it's plus 160 now. We said plus 170 when we started this, so it is money is coming in on the Titans. I was shocked to see the line that way. I thought it was going to be like almost a pick 'em. I don't think either team is that much better than the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like the Titans in this spot until I'm proven otherwise for the Bears. I love it. So that is our dog of the week.
All right. Before we get into the picks, I'm going to read you a parlay that our buddy Deuce made for Thursday night game, and I want you to tell me if this is going to hit or not. I'm going to put $10 on this, and I need you to tell me, is my $10 going to work?
Okay.
So I already know you're going to disagree with the first outcome. So put your bias aside for the first part, all right?
Okay, yeah.
So we got Baltimore Ravens money line.
Okay.
We got Pacheco and Lamar Jackson scoring touchdowns.
Okay.
We got Rashee Rice 40 yards, 40 receiving yards. Yep. We got Mark Andrews plus 5 receptions.
Plus 5, Lord.
And we got Travis Kelce over 5.5 receptions. For plus 6099.
I always get nervous about the reception ones. I like doing yards more than receptions. I do like Kelce. He's probably going to hit. He's a constant in that offense. Mm-hmm. I do like the Pacheco touchdown. Lamar concerns me. See, I do bet a lot on Lamar scoring a touchdown. But I think the safer play, I don't know how much the odds change here or what the odds look like for that, but I think the safer play would be a Henry touchdown in the spot of Pacheco.
That's what I said.
Of Lamar. I do think he's going to start off well with this offense. I mean, they get to the goal line. It's one or the other. It is really a fit, maybe a 65-35 Henry-Lamar. Mm-hmm. But I do think those two will be scoring the majority of the touchdowns in the red zone, especially if they're on the goal line. I mean, realistically, you get on the goal line and that's a Henry touchdown, right? Like, we're not, it's almost a lock. Like, he would be one of the major touchdown bets, like parlays I have all year long. I do like everything else. Rashi Rice should get 40. I don't see why he couldn't. Maybe, has he been practicing all year? Like, all
he's
preseason?
Been, yeah, he's been practicing.
Okay, then yeah, I think 40 is easy for him. They'll hit him on some screen passes, get him out in open space, and I think he can easily get that. Ravens, I can see them winning this game. Like, I'm not super confident in the Chiefs. They don't do well opening games. You know what I mean? Mm. They haven't really been that great. They start off slow. They've started slow in the first halves of their last, like, four straight openers. So if the Ravens can get out in front, I think they can keep the lead, but they need a different approach than they had in the AFC Championship game, that's for sure.
So what? So which one concerns you the most? Is it the Mark Andrews receptions?
I think it's the Mark Andrews receptions. Hurt all last year. I think they will want to get him involved early, but I think he'll be a focal point for the Chiefs' defense, and they're going to try to take him away as much as possible. So if I was concerned about anything, it'd be him or Lamar to score. But Lamar, like I said, 65-35, Lamar could definitely score. I think the Chiefs will try to limit Andrews as much as possible because they don't have a lot of faith in anyone else on the receiving end. Maybe Zay Flowers, but Mark Andrews is definitely the big bullseye on that offense, if you had to ask me, through the passing game. So that's the one that scares me the most in that parlay.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing with Lamar. I just think, like, Lamar's not one of those. Lamar's not, like, and, you know, for good reason, for his health and whatnot. I mean, he's only been injured multiple times, but, like, he's not really the type of, like, AR. Like I was telling Deuce, he's not really the AR, the Josh Allen that's like, all right, we're 10 and in, I'm just going to take this hoe into the end zone. Lamar's looking for the pass. He said it himself. He'd rather pass the ball. He hates running the ball. He only wants to run the ball when he, like, absolutely needs to. So I think that, and then just like you said with Mark Andrews, especially with the emergence that we've seen with Isaiah Likely, what is their split going to look like? Are they going to run a two tight end set, or are they just going to give Likely some more playing time since Mark Andrews is coming back from injury? But I'm gonna shout out my boy. I'm gonna put a little 10 on it. Definitely got that no sweat token, but I'm gonna put a little 10 on it, and we'll see if it hits. If it hits, we'll give a little shout out. Give a little shout out to the boy, because I'll give me like 600 bones. We'll give a shout out to the boy.
Yeah, what are the odds on that?
+6,099.
God, man.
Yeah,
that's big. That's big right there. If I had to pick, like, for Pacheco touchdown, I think that's probably the most realistic touchdown odds. I'm sure he has the best odds to score for the Chiefs, and then, like, a Kelsey would be the other option. But other than that, I'd stay away from touchdowns in parlays, because those can always bite you in the ass.
Yeah, it's all, I swear, bro. And we know, because we used to do parlays. For fair warning, we're not going to do the parlays. We're going to be betting straights. We're going to be smart with our money. We'll just tweet out, like, and say in the podcast, like, yo, we're making these bets. We're going to put this amount of units on it and go from there, because I swear the touchdowns always just cooked us when we were making our parlays. We'd always get the receptions and the yards. It's just the touchdowns.
Yep, every single time. It's hard to predict who's going to score.
I know. We're going to go into our picks. We're going to do it a little bit differently this season. We're just going to throw the picks up. And for the audio listeners, at the end, I'll run through the picks. But we're just going to throw the picks up on the screen, and then we're just going to talk about a couple of the games that we think are, like, the games of the week. So we have the picks up right now for the audio listeners. The picks are up right now. These will be tweeted out and posted later after we post the video and the audio. So those will be out. Like I said, at the end, I'll run through them. But we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the games. So for the YouTube guys and gals, y'all can see our picks and what we have. We do, for the new listeners, first of all, thank you guys for popping in and all that. For the new listeners, we do a yearly record for the season. We've done this three times. This will be a third time. I've won the first one. Reed won the second one. So we got to see who's gonna win this third one. And our wins and losses for the yearly record when we go into the playoffs and Super Bowl as well. But let's go ahead and talk about the first one. Obviously, everybody's super hyped for it. The Thursday night game, the Ravens at the Chiefs. I picked the Ravens and Reed picked the Chiefs. It's gonna be hard for him to not pick the Pat Mahomes would have to be not playing for this.
I don't think I think in 2 years of doing this, I've never not picked the Chiefs. Call me a homer, call me whatever you want. I would like to see Pat Mahomes lose and lose a lot before I start picking against them. So he's earned a pick every week until otherwise. Like I said, I competitive game. Chiefs start off slow every single opener, and against the Ravens, that's not something you can really rely on. So I can see it both ways. I'm just going to keep my streak alive picking the Chiefs here. This is a true definition of a 50-50 game. Pick 'em. So it should be a great kickoff to the year, just like the Lions-Chiefs game last year.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, the Chiefs lost to the Lions. I feel like they always start slow in some point. It's either the start or like the middle of the season where everybody has these concerns. Media's gone crazy. The Chiefs are going to get bounced. They're not going to make it. And then they shut us all up and win the Super Bowl. And I think this is going to be one of those times. There's always something going around in Kansas City. I think they're going to lose. And this isn't a bad team to lose to. It's not like they're going up against like the Panthers or something. They lose and we're like, what the fuck? This is the Ravens, arguably the team that a lot of us think are going to meet the Chiefs again into the AFC championship. So this isn't a bad team to lose to. Two great teams, two great franchises. And I just got the Ravens going in this one.
Yeah, I got I will say for the Chiefs, they have a lot more consistency with roster turnover. And who's coming back? I think the Ravens lost a lot on defense. And to me, that's what makes the Chiefs gives them a little bit of the edge in this game. And I think Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid always staying consistent. They have Kelsey, Rashee Rice is still playing. I think they're going to have, I think they're going to be better than what they were on offense against the Ravens in the AFC Championship. So, also not playoff football. So shit's not as tight.
The second one we have is the Eagles at the Packers, two teams that we think are going to go far into the NFC in the regular season and the playoffs. This game is on Friday in Brazil. A little bit weird, especially with all the shit that's going on in Brazil right now. It's weird that they picked two green teams to represent. I think they haven't came out with what the Packers are wearing, but the Eagles are wearing black and white. And all their players are not happy that they're going to Brazil. They're told they can't do anything for good reason. Can't do anything. They're just here to play football and go home. So I could see like a nasty game in the sense of like the under, because none of these people want to be here in Brazil. And they're just, you know, trying to play the game and get the hell out. I did pick the Eagles, Reed picked the Packers. Seems like a couple of biased picks here. So what's going on with the Packers pick?
Hey, we did predictions in the last episode. I said the Packers would probably go to the Super Bowl this year. I think Jordan Love is close to MVP here. This is only one of the tests for them in the NFC. If they can prove they can beat the Eagles on a primetime game, they are here to stay. This is another game that I really do think I think the opposite. I think this could be a high scoring game. I don't have a lot of faith in the Eagles defense or the Packers defense from what we saw last year. I think this could be a very competitive high scoring game. And I think it's more dependent on the Eagles. Is Jalen Hurts and the offense going to look more like they did at the start of last year rather than the end? And the Packers are the opposite, you know what I mean? Started really slow on offense and got going in the late part of last year, and I think they're going to build on that momentum more than anything. So, like I said, this is another game that doesn't matter in terms of if you lose, no one's going to look at you like, we have problems. Mayday, mayday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both these teams are going to be good. I expect both these teams in the playoffs, just like the Chiefs and Ravens. So this is another 50-50 game, and they're both out of their element. They're playing in Brazil. I see where you're leaning, like, towards the under. It could get sloppy.
Yeah.
You just never know when you take them out of America.
Yeah.
Great game, though.
Yeah, I think it
was. I'm hoping fireworks for this one. I think the Chiefs-Ravens are more likely to hit the under based off of the defenses that were really good last year, and they have. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you never know.
You never know. Speaking of a game I think that there will be fireworks, we're going to go into the Cowboys and the Browns in Cleveland.
You think fireworks?
Whoa. I think fireworks. I think
wow.
I'm not saying, like, bet the over, but I think it's going to be the talk of the week.
So you think they got the game of the week right, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
You think this is going to be an insane game back and forth?
I just think that this game is going to be all on social media. Now, I'm not saying it could be for the good or for the bad. It could be both of these quarterbacks fucking suck.
Battle of the who's jobless at QB
next year. we're gonna be seeing who made a terrible decision. I think with the Cowboys and getting people back, another year under Michael Parsons' belt, I think this is going to be a great game. CeeDee got paid, so he's gonna be looking to make a splash. The Browns are going up against Amari's going up against his former team, the team that left him, that didn't want him. So hopefully he has some vengeance that needs to be paid for the Cowboys. Deshaun has to at least put something up on tape that we're like, oh shit.
Yeah. He's got to show.
So I think a lot of these people are. I think this is the desperate game.
Yeah, I don't disagree. A lot of pressure on this opening game. It's at the Browns. Everyone's going to be there to see if Deshaun, especially Browns fans, everyone and the media. You know, the media is going to pick him apart if he doesn't play well, but.
Mm-hmm.
Browns fans have been waiting. They've been waiting. Can Deshaun Watson, all we've been hearing is, oh, is he going to play? Is he not? Is his shoulder okay? This is it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the start of the year. This can dictate the rest of the year. I do think if they can win this game, they can maybe start out 5-0 on the year. So I do think this is a very big game.
You need them to win. You don't have that many losses in your belt.
No.
You can't start off with an L.
I'm pretty confident in what this defense brings to the table, and we are at home. We went undefeated at home last year. We lost one game, but that was when Deshaun didn't play against the Ravens, and DTR made his first start. I was at that game. Shocking. But, yeah, I'm very confident in what the Browns bring at home. They are one of the best home teams in football. Schwartz, for whatever reason, on the road, doesn't bring the defense with him. But at home, clearly the best defense in the league. I think the opposite. I think this is going to be a sloppy game, to be honest with you. I think Dak's going to struggle. I think Watson's going to struggle again. Watson hasn't played all offseason. Dak hasn't played all offseason. Not playing a little bit in preseason, I think, is not the greatest move for teams. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I think that rust doesn't wear off till about 2 weeks into the season. I think this is a defensive game, really, right here. Maybe a few mistakes, pick six, defensive touchdowns, block punt. I don't know. This game's going to be nasty. It's supposed to be around 55-60 in Cleveland. Perfect football weather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love it. I love it. We're back.
At least,
I'm so excited.
At least you're not there. You have bad luck. You have bad mojo when it comes to watching your teams.
I did. I was at the 49ers-Browns game. That was the last one I went to, so that was exciting. But other than that was probably the best game I've ever been to for the Browns. Other than that, I have a pretty bad track record of. I mean, honestly, how can you have a good track record after, in my lifetime at least? The Browns have been good like 3 years out of my entire 27-year life, so.
Yeah, and you're a good one. Never wavered, never swapped.
I'm here. I'm here for the good times. If Deshaun shows out, this podcast is going to get blocked by so many Steelers fans.
Yeah, if Deshaun does some crazy shit and y'all,
like, dude, if Deshaun throws for AFC $4,000
championship or something, bro,
I'm telling you right now, that's the last thing people want from me. Everyone who knows me. They don't want that to happen. They don't want Deshaun to be good. I get it. Like, I understand why people are so against Deshaun being good. Not only that he's a predator, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that statement at all. Like, there was something shady going on there. Don't get me wrong. But if this man is back to what he used to be, it's going to be a nasty year for some people, especially the Brown, especially the national media, because if you notice last year, whenever Deshaun won a game, there was nothing. It was crickets on the Browns. But when he lost, it was the worst thing of all time. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for the year. This is the best roster the Browns have ever had in my lifetime. So,
yeah, I will say, I mean, y'all are cooked. There's no, if the NFL is rigged, I'm not saying it is, but if it is rigged, there is no way they're putting that man in any centerfold to hold up any trophy.
I can see it maybe in the playoffs. I don't see the NFL being rigged because last year he did go 4-1. You know what I mean? And we got, and the Browns for the first time in a long time had a lot of calls go their way, which is not something.
Yeah, but you didn't see a center focus of like, oh, Deshaun Watson. You saw a center focus on the defense, the coaching. I'm saying will do whatever they can to not have that man.
Well, my thing is more than the NFL, because clearly the NFL is putting the Browns in primetime a decent amount this year. So yeah. I don't think it's necessarily the NFL not like putting a black hole on us. I think it's the national media. And I understand why. One, the Browns are not, we have a huge fan base, but people, the national media likes to just shit on the Browns constantly because we've been so bad for decades. But it's always when the Browns win, it's always like when the Ravens lost to us last year, it was, why did the Ravens blow this lead instead of why are the Browns good? You know what I mean? It's always that. That's what the national media does. They never give credit to the Browns. They always discredit the team that loses. So we'll see this year if the Browns do start out 5-0, 4-1. You know what I mean? Like, we'll see how it goes. It should be interesting.
Oh, if y'all are like 2-3.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly, but but I mean, last year we started out 2-2, ended up like we were pretty like up and down last year to start the year as well. Until Deshaun played, we were 4-2 and that type of thing. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Deshaun wins. He's won at the Browns. He was 4-1 last year. He went 3-3 the year before. So 7-4. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't count the Colts.
I don't either. I saw that
the record. Bullshit. If you look at the record, it counts because he did start the game, but I don't count that game as a win for him. So
I don't count that game in any facet. That bullshit at the end was awful.
That was
now
bad.
for your bet that you
had, I will say, hold on. Let me one more point on the Colts game. I will say for the Colts, I agree. They got screwed at the end of the game, but when you're letting PJ Walker score,
I would say you shouldn't have let it get to that. You shouldn't.
If you're letting PJ Walker score 38 on you, you deserve to lose the game. So that's all I'm going to say on that one.
Yeah, they did get screwed, but there's no way that you let that situation happen in the first place.
Absolutely not.
No, yeah. Someone needed to get fired for that.
Yeah.
But in your 13-win bet that you got with our buddy Dan.
Yeah.
Would you rather just lose the 5 games like immediately? Or would you rather just wait, you know, have to wait like you're on like game 3 or 4 of lot like 3 or 4 losses? You're just waiting like, oh,
cows. I'd rather wait because like I do think we obviously I don't want the Browns to lose, you know what I mean? So yeah. This is a bet that I took based off of roster talent. Coaching, I think, is there. Our GM is solid and
a little delusions.
A little delusions for sure. NFL's a year-to-year league for sure, and we could totally go like 6 wins this year. Like, I'm not, if I had a confidence level in this pick, it would probably be like 40%. You know what I mean? But that's how you make money. You gotta take the plus odds. 100's a little egregious, and I was also drinking. don't drink and bet at the same time, people. But yeah, I wouldn't say like I'm super confident because, like you said in our last episode, if if the Browns win 13 games, they're most likely the one seed in the AFC, right? And plus, we have one of the hardest schedules in football. A lot of things have to happen. Like, if the Browns have as many injuries as they did last year, we're not winning 13 games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, betting straight win totals is stupid in the NFL, because you could walk out week one and someone blows their Achilles out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like the Jets did. Like, I bet so many people bet so much money on the Jets to win the Super Bowl, make the playoffs, Rodgers MVP. You know what I mean? And the whole season's gone in one play, which is the worst part about the NFL, because, like, not many other sports are like this. Basketball, you bet on the NBA, you're pretty much solid. No one really gets hurt that bad in the NBA. Mm-hmm. A few outliers, but, like, football is physical and people get hurt every single week and you have to play through some of it. So there's a lot of factors to make it that far in the season, because it's so hard to win in the NFL. It's so hard. And fans take that for granted. Like, I'm telling you. And I don't take that for granted. Like, to get to 13 wins would be the most insane thing I've ever watched for the Browns to do it, because no one expects the Browns to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, consistent success in the NFL is the hardest thing to do in any sports.
Yeah, we're going to get into the next game. Is the Rams at the Lions. We both picked the Lions, which is kind of shocking coming from Reed, the Rams guy. This is Rams fans, the five of you that are out there in the world. This is the five OG ones. This is your Rams correspondent, Reed, over here. And he picked against you guys.
I'm always high on the Rams. I'm high on McVay and Stafford. This year, the question marks of defense are just too much for me, I think. I do think they're going to be competitive. They always will be with the coach and QB that they have, but I did not like some of the offseason moves, trading away Ernest Jones at linebacker right before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know who their new DC is, but getting Raheem Morris gone, don't love it. You know what I mean? So it's hard to fill those shoes. And like I said, the Lions' consistency, I like it a lot. With what they have, Ben Johnson is back. That's a big factor for me. I just think it's too much talent on the Lions, not enough on the Rams. I just think it goes in that direction, to be honest with you. I think they can just score more points than the Rams. That's what it comes down to.
Same. I feel the same way. Lions fans, I'm your guy. I'm the Lions correspondent. I've been with y'all from the jump. I always thought y'all would be good. I think this is, like you said, I'd take the spread on this. It's at the Lions, and I just see more consistency. That's kind of just what we have to base it off of, just week one, because there's so many uncertainties. So it's a lot easier to go with, like, the consistent teams, the familiar faces that we see. And
yeah,
the last game of the week that we will be talking about is the 49ers. In the Jets Monday night, we both picked the 49ers. How are you feeling about this game?
I think this is going to be a slugfest. I don't think high scoring at all. I think Rodgers will be a little rusty. Haven't played in a year and a half. I think Purdy is also going to be a little bit rusty. But I just think both defenses, like, the Jets defense is good.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you think someone's going to score on them, they fucking don't. They get a turnover. They can get after the QB. I think they're going to make Purdy uncomfortable. Kind of like I think this game flows a lot like the Super Bowl. Like, maybe the 49ers get out to an early lead, but I think they'll slow down. The Jets defense will be able to, like, slow them down enough. And Rodgers puts a few drives together. I think this is a really close game too. I'm just going to go with the 49ers talent and coaching over the Jets. That's pretty much what I came to on this one. I think both teams are pretty similar, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think with a lot of, like you said, with Rodgers and then with Ayuk, who wasn't practicing until his deal, Trent Williams, the same. I think everybody's going to be pretty rusty. I think these teams both have a lot to prove. So we might see some attempts at some fireworks, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be that nasty, like 20-17 game, won by a field goal on either side. But I'm going to go with the 49ers here. And I do believe, I think both these teams will be really good. I have them both winning their divisions. It just all depends on Rodgers. I know we're all going to be looking at Rodgers and how he's going to do, since literally when he was out there last year, he fucking tore his shit. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. That's it for the week one picks. They're up there for YouTube. For audio, I'll list them right now. In Thursday night game, the Chiefs and Ravens. I have the Ravens. Reed has the Chiefs. The Friday night game, Eagles and Packers. I have the Eagles and Reed has the Packers. For the Sunday games, the Steelers and the Falcons. I have the Steelers, of course, and Reed has the Falcons. For the Bills and Cardinals game, we both have the Bills. Although, I think, you know, so one, I feel like one of these games is going to be like a big upset. Watch out for the Cardinals, man.
Yeah, no bigger upset week one than that.
For the Titans and the Bears, we both have the Titans. For the Bengals and the Patriots, we both have the Bengals. For the who did the Texans play? Texans.
Colts.
I mean, Colts, yeah. Texans and Colts, we both have the Texans. This man's already going against his AR agenda. It's crazy work.
Another really close game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really good game. For the Dolphins and the Jaguars, we both have the Dolphins. Panthers and Saints, we both have the Panthers. I know a lot of, you know, everybody's probably going to be picking the Saints, but we really think the Panthers can win this. I like what the Panthers are doing. I really like their coach, their new head coach, Dave Canales. I think the Saints are finally going to accept that deep dive that they have needed to accept years ago. And I think it's finally about that time. Fire Dennis Allen, please.
Yeah.
Please. For the Vikings and the Giants, I have the Vikings and Reed has the Giants. Sorry, Giants fans. I know I'm usually your guys' correspondent here, but I just think I think y'all need a little turmoil too. For the Chargers and the Raiders, we both have the Chargers. For the Seahawks and the Broncos, we both have the Seahawks. For the Cowboys and the Browns, I have the Cowboys and Reed has the Browns. For the Buccaneers and Commanders, we both have the Buccaneers. And for the Lions and the Rams, both of the Lions. And for the 49ers and the Jets, we both have the 49ers. If I could say the games that would be hilarious for the underdog to win, I think it'd be the Broncos. If the Broncos could win, that'd be fucking crazy. And the Cardinals.
Yeah. I could honestly see it happening. Seahawks are a weird team. Yeah, I could see both happening, to be honest with you. My bet of the week is the Cardinals hanging with the Bills, so hanging around.
I don't know. But that is our week one picks. Is there anything else that we needed, that you needed, that we needed before we sign off? Nothing? All good. Can't wait for the next episode. This will be posted today. As soon as we get off, I promise you guys for the next episode, you will see my face. I need to give the worst review to Eros. They suck dick. So we're going to go get a new router. Shout out Best Buy. We'll be getting a new router and you guys will be seeing me, fully from my face and everything. The Steelers and Bama flag in the back. I will see that for the next episode. We'll be going over the games and doing our bets and whatnot. We will post our we'll post about both episodes. We have an episode for our predictions that dropped yesterday. Please watch that and then watch this episode. Give both a like, comment, subscribe. For the audio listeners, these will it's posted on Spotify and Apple. This episode will be as well. Give both a listen, rate us 5 stars, follow, you know what to do. This will be posted out on our social medias at DWC2022 on Twitter and Defense Wins Championships on Instagram. Once we get a couple more episodes, we'll be dropping some clips on TikTok. So follow us on TikTok at Defense. I think it's Defense Wins Championships. I'll check that. And yeah, we'll post our picks on either FanDuel or DraftKings. We'll post those. And for our units, we'll say what our units are. We'll have to discuss that. But we'll say what our units are so you guys can know what we mean by two or four units or whatever. And, yeah, we get some money winning for you guys and whatnot. And hopefully this channel will continue to grow. So thanks, everybody, that listened. Thanks for everybody that tuned in. And we are out. Peace, y'all.